Welcome to the Pulse of Spokane. Kent Adams here, and as we always do, we have interesting guests on to talk about their business, talk about things going on in the community. I hope things are good as we record this program for play the next day or so. There's a lot of smoke outside, but we've been really pretty fortunate this year that we haven't had a lot of the traditional wildfires and so forth that have sometimes inundated us where you can't see across the street with the smoke. So let's hope things get better. And most importantly, hats off to all of our first responders out there that are keeping us safe. I'm pleased today to have Robin Benneman.
Very good.
Was I close?
Very good. No, that's it.
I did it.
You nailed it.
All right. Once this year is pretty good, then. from Crimson Rook.
Crimson Rook, yes.
Yeah. What is Crimson Rook?
Crimson Rook is a business and an advisory practice that I started in Connecticut and moved back to Spokane 2 or 3 years ago.
Oh, well, we'll talk about why you moved it back to Spokane and why you went there in the first place. Oh, okay. we'll talk with Robin right after this.
Well, this is Looms Day in Spokane. We got about 40 firefighters and their friends and family handing out 40,000 cups of water as the day goes by.
It's a very good opportunity to see the public and support them and help them out and cheer them on during Looms Day.
It's one of the best things about Spokane is that we have these major events and the whole community comes together not just to participate but to volunteer and show that they really care about our city and making our city look great.
This type of an event really is emblematic of Spokane because so many people get involved. We have 50,000 people probably running this race. Always has been a very huge event.
Right now we're at the corner of Broadway and Nettleton. It's the last water station before the finish, so people are pretty much dehydrated by the time they get to us. They really need our water.
The water stations are a vital part, especially on a warm days like today. It's real important that we have the volunteers to help with that. Without the volunteers, Looms Day wouldn't exist.
All up and down the course, there are people that are involved in this celebration. It really is a celebration of what Spokane's all about.
Welcome to Apex Plaza, Spokane's one-stop cannabis destination. Apex Cannabis features thousands of economy, value, and luxury cannabis products. Canagear features hemp-based CBD products, glass, goods, and gear. Stop by 1325 North Division to experience the Apex difference.
This product has intoxicating effects and may be habit-forming. Marijuana can impair concentration, coordination, and judgment. Do not operate a vehicle or machinery under the influence of this drug. There may be health risk associated with the consumption of this product. For use only by adults 21 and older, keep out of the reach of children.
The economy is getting stronger, banks are lending again, and interest rates are at historic lows. Now is a great time to buy your dream home. The caring and knowledgeable professionals at Homes for You have been helping people just like you for over 20 years. They take the time to listen to what you want and will help you find just the right home in Washington or Idaho. Real estate is what we do at Homes for You, 928-5782, or visit online at homes, the number 4, uspokane.com.
Well, welcome back. And Robin.
Yes.
You get to do kind of like what I get to do, and that is to talk with a lot of business people and enjoy their company and helping them move forward, right?
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So you went back east somewhere. I can't remember where you said.
Connecticut.
Oh, I'm sorry for you.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. And then started a company.
Yes.
And then you brought it to Spokane, Washington, right?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Why start it there instead of here?
Well, so my journey actually started in Vermont.
Oh, okay.
So I grew up in a small town in a large family in Vermont.
Okay.
Got a philosophy degree.
Okay.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
Started a manufacturing company because
really?
That's what you do with a philosophy degree.
Well, right? Of course.
Exactly. It's a natural.
It's either that or teach it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, and I wasn't going down that path. So I started this manufacturing company, ran it for 10 years, sold it.
Okay.
Had never taken a business class.
Oh, really?
So I went to MIT.
Okay.
Got my master's.
I hear they're pretty good.
They're pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're really pretty good. A lot of numbers.
Yeah.
A lot of numbers. equations that really do take up all those boards.
Really?
Yeah.
And are used daily by all of us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now I remember why I needed algebra. And then I moved to the Silicon Valley.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yes.
Because that's the next logical step.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Why
I'm
not?
A Southern California boy.
Oh.
40 years ago. Oh. So you people in the north were just kind of weird.
Yeah. Weirder than you on the south?
Yeah.
No, come on. So I got into tech. And I spent about 15 years as an executive in tech companies.
You're not old enough for all of this.
Yeah, I've been very busy.
Yeah.
Been very
busy. Kidding.
And build companies with other people's money.
Oh.
And then I did what you do when you're a single mom and your kid goes to college.
Oh, Lord.
Match.com.
Yeah.
Almost 20 years ago.
Really?
And I met this wonderful man, and he got a job here in Spokane.
Oh.
So that's how I got to Spokane the first time.
Ah, okay.
So he was an on-air guy at Q6.
Oh.
And his son was playing football at Wazoo.
Okay.
And we had three or four wonderful years in Spokane.
Yes.
And then he got a job in Connecticut.
Oh, okay.
So I flew to Connecticut.
Yeah.
And started Crimson Rook.
Well, good for you.
And Crimson Rook was the company that helped... that was going to help the companies like mine when I was a young entrepreneur.
Okay, right, right.
Right, to grow them and to sell them and to do something with them. And I always wanted to be that business advisor.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, so I started it there probably 15 years ago. And then I started working with the University of Connecticut.
Okay.
So I was their first entrepreneur in residence.
Oh.
And I run their family business program still here from Spokane.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. Because what's interesting is... plus or minus 80% of our economy is privately held businesses.
Yes.
60% of our economy is family-owned businesses.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So they look like Ford Motor Company and the jewelry store on the corner.
Yeah.
But they are the backbone of our jobs and our economy. So I'm deeply invested in that.
And we've seen what's happened to those.
Oh,
in the last 5-6 months.
Oh, yeah. It's crushing.
Yes.
And there are some real winners and some real losers.
Yes.
But I've gotten involved with tools and technology to help privately held businesses, family businesses.
Great, yes.
Survive.
Right.
Pivot, thrive, and then sell or move to the next owner or generation.
Yeah.
And that's what I've been
doing. I know some
doing.
Business people and that I've known for 40 years here in Spokane that reached a point where the next part of the family was going to take over, and then how to transfer and how to do all that. And they ended up learning enough to do it for their company, but then being available to help friends because there are certain things you should do and shouldn't do.
Oh, yeah. I was on the phone yesterday with a colleague, family-owned businesses, and she was saying, bemoaning the fact that she had some of her kids come in, fourth generation.
Yes.
And right out of college, and she said that was such a mistake.
Yes.
You
go
know, they need
get some experience.
Exactly.
Yes.
Go do something, anything.
Yeah. Yes.
And then come back. And so she said, so I retired some of my kids when they were 24.
Yes.
And they came back at 34, but she said they had an early retirement.
Well, but think of the outside interest and knowledge that they come back with.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and now that when they say mom or dad, what if we do it this way? They've got some credibility with
right.
it. Otherwise, it's you need to be in the business for 10 years until you know what's going on. I was told years ago that it's not all the cases, but often the third generation that has the hardest challenge of continuing with the company. Have you seen some of that?
Yeah, there is some of that. And some of it's because the early folks were very you get started.
Yes, yes.
You know, you're entrepreneurial and I've got a crazy idea.
Yeah.
And as you get older and maybe you don't go leave, maybe you don't have any other hobbies except this business.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not necessarily as entrepreneurial as you wanted to be or you were originally.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a whole series of reasons why third generations have a hard time. Some of it's you've got a huge family now and everyone's involved.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah.
And there's just
it's
not
no
enough.
Longer the one son or daughter or two or whatever you're
right.
dealing with.
Yeah, the
multiples.
The some of the interesting research on family businesses is they are more, they have stronger balance sheets.
Oh, really?
And so some of that is they've been stewards of their assets.
Yes.
And so for some set of them, they will do better with things like the pandemic.
Yes.
Because they've got stronger balance sheets. But they do need to sort of reach out to the younger generations. One of my families in their fourth or fifth generation, she said, I need some reverse tutoring and reverse mentoring.
Yes.
And so, you know, maybe e-commerce is something you're supposed to be doing now. And if... We've got some white hair here on, at the table.
I dye mine, you know, because it's jet black, you know. Yeah. And if you'll buy
to
that,
get you some credibility.
I'll sell you a bridge in Brooklyn. Yeah, yeah. But what's been the craziest business you've worked with and had to retool a little bit? You don't have to mention names if you want. But.
So there's a company that started actually in agriculture. So in this part of the world and on the East Coast, ag's big.
Yes.
And they started out in the turkey business.
Oh.
And they were growing and slaughtering turkeys.
Okay.
And the rules changed and you could do one or the other. You couldn't do both.
Oh, really?
And so they pivoted to the slaughtering part of it.
Okay.
And they have pivoted every generation in a big way.
Wow.
And the last big pivot was, I mentioned e-commerce.
Yes.
They started a pet food business because they had all the leftover turkey parts.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they started a fresh pet food business, and then they added the e-commerce. So they have grown and pivoted. They finally got out of the turkey business and turned it into a nonprofit.
Yeah.
So,
well, now if you look at, a lot of us have learned an awful lot about social media and so forth. Mm-hmm. I was telling a guest earlier today that I had heard of Zoom. I've experienced Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody I talk to has been on Zoom dozens of times in the last 6 months. But
right.
6 months, 7 months ago, I just heard of it.
Right, right.
And so you have to be current with what's going on.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you've got to, and that's where, you know, leveraging the first, second, third, fourth generation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's my granddaughter that fixes my phone.
Yes, yes.
Right?
Yes.
You probably have some experience with that.
Yeah, a lot. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's interesting, the now that people are, or businesses are, surviving the pandemic.
Yes.
Some of them are thriving.
Yes.
There are some places like the people that just put on our fence just can't get the supplies. They are so busy.
Yes.
People are investing in certain things. Amazon's clearly doing well.
Yes.
But now that they've survived or are thriving through this time, most of them are sort of opening their eyes and saying, okay, what's next?
Yeah. It's not always going to be the storefront.
No.
And I think they've had to learn a lot. I was talking with somebody last week or the week before, and she's going to postpone advertising with us because she can't get supply.
Right.
She said, I can sell. I've got, look at the store, Kent. It's full. But I can't, they've stopped manufacturing some of the items that she needs and so forth. And she's hoping it'll get caught up by Thanksgiving, Christmas time. So while you may be doing okay in terms of the traffic flow and calls and stuff, you may not get supply.
Right, right. I did a webinar a couple of months ago on supply chain resilience.
Yes, okay.
Resilience is a big deal, and it's especially important for privately held and family businesses. But it was on supply chain resilience.
Yeah.
And one of the three or four bullet takeaways was, call your suppliers.
Yes.
If you've got key suppliers, they're going to be the last person to call you and say, P.S., I'm going out of business or I'm behind.
Yeah.
It's about communication.
Yeah.
And I'm doing one tomorrow around customer and revenue resilience.
Yeah.
You know?
Are you seeing a lot of businesses go more online now than ever before? And is that... I mean, I hear people telling me and I hear the conversations that there will be less and less storefronts and small businesses and that they need to really adjust to the e-commerce and delivery and so forth.
Yeah, you really have to look at who's buying your stuff and how they're buying it and pay attention to how you're buying stuff. I mean, I don't know about you. I don't go to the store nearly as much.
No. Well, I hate to shop, to be honest with you. My wife does most of that. Although
I do that at my house.
Yes. Well, my daughter does. And yes, welcome to today, because she can drive and pick up.
Right.
Or have it delivered if that's what you need to do based on kids and schedules and everything else. But I worry about some of these small businesses that a restaurant or whatever it might be that have depended on the walk-in traffic. And if they don't adjust, they won't be in business.
Right.
Yeah. And I can't tell you how many, and I'm very serious about this, the last couple of months of small businesses, because that's our focus here, small business and community, have told me, I'm not sure I'll be around this fall, Kent.
Yeah.
And almost always with the caveat, but I worry more about my employees.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Than that they may be in bankruptcy or have to close the doors and so forth.
Yeah, how they're going to feed their children, keep their lights on.
Yes, all that goes with it. What advice do you have for people to be smart about today's changing, crazy? We know what the economy is like today at this hour, but we don't know what it's going to be like tomorrow. What advice do you have for folks?
So I think you need to look at your business. And so I'm focused on the research around resilience.
Okay.
And so I've created this little tool.
Okay.
You know, answer these 10 questions and get an idea of where you're resilient and where you're not.
Okay.
So if you're solid on your operations or your whatever it is, stop paying attention to those. Pay attention to your weaknesses.
Okay.
And figure out what they are and figure out who's buying your goods or services.
And how to overcome it.
And how they're buying them.
Yes.
And you're probably going to have to pivot.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have to change.
You may be in the delivery service locally if you're a locally owned business and most of your customers come from local, that maybe you have to deliver your donuts or whatever it might be.
Right.
You know,
look at who's buying it, how they're buying it, who else is doing what. I mean, it's a big world. And I also think privately held businesses are pretty good at networking, to your point.
Yes, yes.
Calling someone and saying, what are you doing and how are you getting through? Here in Spokane, the Small Business Development Center, which is part of the SBA, has got wonderful resources.
Yeah.
You know, what I found in Connecticut and what I'm finding here is there's a wealth of resources. And we're just not used to lifting our head up as business owners and saying, who can help me? What's my problem and who can help me?
But what I found in living in this town, even though we're a city and county and all of that, it's still a town. Because if I need your advice, I may not know how to get a hold of you, but I know somebody that knows you.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And we almost can get to somebody through one other person.
Oh, absolutely. Spokane.
And even if it's your competitor, they'll often say, yes, let's have a cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's asking for help.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how that works very well in a big LA or San Diego or somewhere, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can join an organization and so forth, and you might sit with them at a table for an hour to have lunch or whatever.
Right.
But here you can make I can make a couple calls and get to almost anybody.
Right, right.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the same thing in Connecticut. It's, by the way, it's the same thing in the Silicon Valley.
Yes.
As many people as there are, that tech network.
Yes, they're all willing to answer the phone and help.
Yeah, and someone will help.
Or the text message today.
You know. Exactly. Or I'll leave you a Zoom call message.
I know. I remember when email first came out and I had someone working for me. I was helping nonprofits raise money and so forth. And I hate to write grants. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I hired someone to do that. And I said, I told her that morning, I really need to have the file and everything by early afternoon. And it was snowing. She lives on the South Hill. To come downtown is where it was. And she said, okay, I'll pack up the kids, blah, blah, and come down. I said, you can email it. You know, and literally, I don't think she had ever done that before.
Right.
But the technology allows us to do those kinds of things.
Right.
And we can search people in the same business and so forth and reach out. And I've never been denied access to somebody that if I have a question or whatever.
I think especially now, I can't believe how much more open people are to have a conversation or a Zoom call from people they don't even know.
Right.
I think we're all sort of leaning in and figuring out everyone's having trouble.
Yeah. We did a lot of remote things, and the thing I set up at the very beginning was this is going to be fun and different because I hosted my shows from my little home office, mm-hmm. and so did our other hosts, and everybody we talked to was
right
on their systems at home and so forth. I warned everybody, well, this will be interesting for the next 2 or 3 weeks, which of course became 2 or 3 months, 2 months. But I said, I wonder how many cats, little kids we'll see in the mm-hmm. background. None. We had one child that entered it, but wouldn't go in front where the camera was.
Right.
But no cat, you know, and I'm looking online and you see it all the time, but I'm thinking, I missed out on the cat or the dog in the background, you know, and no spouse walking through the background naked from the shower to the, you know. Okay, I guess we were too serious.
I'll have to invite you to the Zoom calls I'm on. I'm with the Family Business Alliance, which the 60 family business programs in universities around the country in North America. And we've got cats.
Oh, yes.
We've got some gal who looks like she's in a cabin in Maine. Looks like she's in an unfinished. I mean, they're crazy. And we've got the kids and the dogs and the cats. But
that just adds to it.
Oh, yeah,
makes
I think
it
so.
Fun.
It's interesting to see how people live.
Yes, yes, yes. How can people get in touch with you to learn more about what services you might help them with?
So I'm at Crimson Rook, Crimson the color, Rook the chess piece, .com.
Okay.
And if you look up Crimson Rook, you can find me there.
Okay.
I'm also at the University of Connecticut School of Business.
Oh, yes, way back.
Way
east.
Back there.
Yeah.
But it's so funny, the resources are still so relevant.
Yeah.
And it's an easier commute from my across the living room and dining room into my office than flying to Connecticut.
No kidding.
But Crimson Rook
and
is
And today,
easy
more
way.
People are accepting the
oh,
fact
yes.
that you're not sitting across the table from
right.
them.
Yeah. Right.
And I think that's going to be the way.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been lovely. I've enjoyed talking with
you. Well, nice to see people out helping other people. And that's what you're doing.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Every day.
Yeah, good. Well, thanks for watching The Pulse of Spokane. You have a good day.
Thanks for watching. Ask the host a question, recommend a guest, or check out any of our other programs on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or SpokaneTalksMedia.com. Sponsored by Local 29 Firefighters Union, Well-Dressed Walrus, and Homes for You.